Would you bow with me in prayer?
Heavenly Father, help me to articulate well this message, trying to explain this parable and what it means for our lives. Help me, Lord God, to be able to speak well, but help everyone here, myself included, to listen well, so that truly your word would sink in and take root and grow and blossom and flourish in us, so that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus often taught in parables, which had to be frustrating for a lot of people, and even for the disciples, the part in between those two sections that Natalie read, you know, talks about how the disciples didn't understand. And what does this parable mean? And even Jesus quotes Isaiah in talking about, yeah, there was a purpose to his teaching in parables that some people would not understand. And it seems kind of odd that Jesus would speak that way. But as he spoke in parables, and sometimes they can be confusing, you got to dig deep. You got to listen well. You got to study hard to be able to draw out the beauty, the power, and the life in it. I'm going to see what I can do with this parable. Try and not just make sense, but find ways in our lives where we can apply it. So what is he talking about? Well, first of all, it's somebody sowing seed. And what is that? Really, it is the person who preaches the word or teaches the word or speaks the word. And so it is the word of God being sown, going out. That's what the word is, and it's about the kingdom. Now, the word tends, as it goes out, to find different kinds of hearts. So the first heart that Jesus was talking about was a hard soil. And basically, he talked about it more like a rocky path where that seed doesn't even penetrate into that heart. Instead, the devil comes like a bird and just plucks away that word and it's gone. And it has no effect in somebody. And so, you know, the implications for this also, for this parable in evangelism, is just that. As we try and speak the word, take the word, talk about the gospel, the word of God, there's going to be a lot of people who it's as if it just bounces off of them and they just don't get it. The way it says it here is they don't understand it, nor can they, Jesus says, in quoting from Isaiah. And so we can't grow discouraged. And anybody who's tried to do any kind of formal evangelism, you've experienced this. Most people, it just seems to bounce off of them. I remember one time in Colombia, South America, and I was trying to do some street evangelism, and I would just sit in front of a busy grocery store with a sign that says Jesus with question marks. And most people just pass by and, what in the world? And some people, actually, one lady came up to me very angry. What, you think you're Jesus? You know, no. And I would explain when somebody would ask, what I'm trying to do is, I think there's a lot of people with questions about Jesus. And, you know, I'm a theologian. I didn't want to say a missionary. I said, you know, a professor of the Bible. But what good does it do me to sit in my office and, you know, write out messages? And very few people are going to hear them. So I thought I knew that there were a lot of people with walking on the streets with questions about God, questions about Jesus, questions about the Bible, questions about heaven. So I thought, I'll just sit here and offer myself, and if anybody's got questions, do you have questions? And the majority, 99% of the people just walked on by. But it was very cool. The first day I did that, all of a sudden, yeah, this girl had questions, and we talked, and she came to receive Jesus. I went out again, and you know, same thing, and 99% of the people just walked by. Too busy, probably thought I was a freak, I don't know. Anyway, but then another guy came up, we got into a conversation, he received Christ. So I went out a different time, And all of a sudden that same guy comes back dragging along a friend. He says, "You got to talk to him. He needs Jesus too." And so it was very cool. In evangelism, sometimes God will give you success and a harvest, but literally it was one out of 1,000. And so there's going to be a lot of times the vast majority of the people aren't even going to get it. They really aren't. It's going to be like seed falling on rocky path. Then there's going to be some of the seed that falls on shallow soil. What does Jesus mean by that? And he says, all of a sudden it's received with joy. Oh, this is great. You mean my sins can be washed away? Oh, that is so cool. And they get all excited. But then he says it's kind of like seed in shallow soil. All of a sudden when the sun comes out, because there's no depth, and it's really like people with shallow hearts and a shallowness there, all of a sudden he says when the trials and persecution come, the joy is gone, they're gone, and they just seem to go away. And that can be discouraging too when we're talking about evangelism, when we're talking about church growth, and you're trying, you got this phenomenal message, it's better than the cure for cancer. The majority of the people aren't even getting it, and the ones, some of them who do, now they're gone. And then he said, and then there's others, and it seems like things, there's good growth, and the seed falls and takes root, and things start coming up, and then the weeds start to grow alongside, and those weeds then start choking out the life there. And he says those weeds then can be the deceitfulness of and he specifically talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. I think there's other deceit that can get in there like weeds. And fretfulness and anxiety, the worries of life. Oh yeah, fretfulness. Oh, that does seem to choke out life, doesn't it? In fact, Psalm 37:8, the last part of that verse says, "Do not fret; it leads only to evil." Ooh, ouch! Anybody else here a fretter? Yeah. Oh, that one it gets at me. Do not fret; it leads only to evil. And yeah, it just chokes out the life, the fruitfulness. What's the fruitfulness? If you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Boy, does that anxiety squelch the love? Squelch the joy, rob me of the peace. Yeah, yeah, totally. And then the deceitfulness of wealth. And money, or the love of money, is the root of all evil. And so Paul talks about that. Got to watch out for that. But there's other deceit, too, that can get in there, like weeds. And in one ministry that I just love, they talk about these stronghold lies that can get in there into our hearts and literally just choke out the life, distorting even our image of God and who we perceive God to be. And you got to watch out for that deceitfulness, those lies that can so mess things up in our hearts. But then Jesus said, there are some seed. And I got to say, it's probably precious few hearts like this where that seed takes root, grows, flourishes, and he said, producing a harvest hundredfold, in some cases 60-fold, some cases 30-fold, just growth, blossoming, flourishing, the Word of God flourishing in a life like that. So we take inventory then, and I ask, and you, is the Word of God flourishing in your heart? Does the Word of God sink in, go deep? Are you meditating on the Word of God? When you get a scripture verse that is just so precious, do you even commit it to memory? You say, I need to remember that one because I need to reflect on it. I need to meditate. I need to let it work its beauty in my heart and create change in my heart, because things got to change there. Like the verse I just said, Psalm 37:8. Yeah, I struggle with fretfulness. So when I came upon that verse, I knew I had to memorize that verse, get it in there and think on it, meditate on it, let it work its beauty in my heart to try and extract that fretfulness that anxiety out. Does the Word of God work in you like that? Or, perish the thought, does the Word of God just bounce off your heart? Sometimes there can be that hardness of heart. And sometimes that hardness, that can come from all different kinds of things. But I have found one of the best ways of softening the heart, softening the soil of the heart, is love. Is love. And so what we need to do is make sure we are not closing ourselves off from love, specifically God's love. But God's love can come to us in through many channels and certainly through many people too. So we can't close ourselves off from love. And oftentimes because of hurts, because of injuries, because of people who have failed us or people who have hurt us, we tend to try and protect our hearts. And so we start to close them off. And that can be a serious problem because it creates a hardness of heart. And then with that hardness of heart, even God's love can't penetrate, can't break up the soil so that His Word penetrates and works its magic, works its wonders. So we have to be very careful about that. So how is your soil? One of the questions I think that this parable brings out and brings about is, and your soil, how is it? Is it hard or soft? Is it fertile? Or are there weeds growing there? Is it shallow? Or is it deep? These are the kind of questions that come out. And we need that time of examination. And the spiritual fathers, they talk about a time of examine. And it really is a time of silent reflection. When we can take inventory and really allow God, give God an opportunity, almost like to x-raying our hearts and then communicating to us, here's what He's finding. And maybe He does find a weed that's growing there, some sort of lie or deceit that is getting in there that's starting to skew my thinking or skew the way I perceive things and get me off the right path. So how is your soil? And is your soil well watered? What does that mean? Well, think about it. If there is a time of drought, anybody that's into farming, that is a scary word. What does drought bring about? It blocks the fertility and it creates a withered crop. So is your heart flourishing or is it withering? That's a tough question. And what would God say too? Is your life flourishing? I mean, would God speak of a harvest 100-fold, 60-fold, even 30-fold? Or is there very little fruit that's being produced? Ouch. Those are tough questions, I know. So what we need to do is, from these tough questions, from this time of examine, come away with, so what now? What do I do? First, we need to make sure that our soil is well watered. Our heart is well watered. The water being the Spirit, so allowing God to soak us, that we might be Spirit soaked with the Spirit through prayer, certainly through the study of the Word. In fact, Psalm 1 talks about the person who meditates day and night on the Word of God. That person is like a tree planted by a stream who bears fruit always in season, always green. And even in a time of drought, that tree is healthy. Wouldn't you love to have a life like that and a heart like that? even in times of drought, what would drought look like? Conflict, frustration, financial crisis, economic downturn, losing a job, sickness. Even in times like those, times of drought, the heart is flourishing. Don't you long for that kind of health, of heart prosperity? So we've got to be well watered. And literally it talks about the Bible, the person who meditates on the Word of God, but day and night. So if you're basically only receiving the Word of God on Sunday morning, here in the sermon time and in the service, that's not enough. That is not a well-watered heart. It needs to be daily. So it's getting into the Word of God, getting, reading the Bible for yourself at home. So that actually, when you come into church, this is bonus. This is bonus. This is icing on the cake. But you've been watering your heart and watering your spirit all week long. Is it well watered? We need to tend to that soil. We need to be careful and watch out for the trials and persecution. That's another thing that come out of the parable, is trials and persecution were like the sun scorching the good growth. How do you fare when it comes to trials and persecution? Are your roots deep enough, strong enough, that you can remain firm like a solid oak tree that even in a gale force storm, stand strong, stand strong? Or are you like James, a person James describes in James 1? He now takes it to describing it like a wave of the sea that's just tossed about, the person who's just constantly racked with doubt and unbelief. So again, the remedy is the Word of God that helps us to grow roots that go deep, deep, deep. What about weed control? Jesus talked about these weeds, anxiety, fretfulness, and deceit. And I've already spoken a little bit about that. But how are you faring in the area of weed control? Would your life be described as fretful and anxious, or calm and peaceful? And so the Word of God tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Really. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a promise by God. So you see how resourceful prayer is. And we can take from the anxieties that we have and just cast them upon God. The Apostle Peter says, just cast your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. And we do that through prayer. So when that fretting, when that those anxious thoughts start to come, you just literally just, God, take them, take them. So through prayer, we can develop a life of peace, a life of calm, as opposed to a life of fretfulness and anxiety. And just like I was trying to explain to the kids, some of the weeds too, you got to watch out for the deceitfulness of sin. And we need to develop a hatred towards sin. Some of the reference verses that I put there in your sermon notes talk about that. And especially in the, I think it's Psalms or Proverbs, but talk about the righteous person literally developing that hatred for sin. And that hatred just keeps growing in me, and especially as a pastor, and as you get to hear people's stories and talk to people, and some people come in for counseling, and I'm thinking back even on in Mexico and the missions work. I did a lot of pastoral counseling down there. And when you hear the way sin just destroys lives and relationships. You can't help but develop just a hatred for sin. And then you see those little evidence of those seeds in your own heart, and you hate it. We need to develop a hatred towards sin and then literally renounce it. We have to be so careful. We can truly develop a love-hate relationship with sin, and we can't allow that to happen. Do you hate sin? Do you hate, and I'm not talking about in others. That's too easy. I'm not talking about here in your own heart. Do you hate it? Are you developing a revulsion for it? Just an anger towards it? God, help me get rid of this. It's just dragging me down. Just stealing the fruitfulness. And it would destroy me if I were to continue in it. Is that the kind of language you use for the sin? Or is there a defensiveness? I mean, it isn't so bad. Well, it's not as bad as this guy. Well, at least I don't have that. Which language is it? We need to have this literal revulsion for sin, and then by God's Spirit, renounce it. I'm done with it. And God, help me. And I will seek help. I will find accountability partners. I'll find a counselor. I'll find a pastor to talk to. I'm sick of it, and I want to be rid of it. Because those are the weeds that are so destructive, and they take away from this fruitfulness. So these are some of the things that we're drawing from this parable, and like I said, it has implications personally. I've been talking at a personal level. It has implications for those who do evangelism, and that should be all of us. And it has implications for us as leaders. And so I ask the question too of those in leadership, especially those who are doing the teaching, Bible studies, Sunday school, any aspects of leadership, are we helping to provide good soil for people to grow in? As a church, too. Are we doing weed control? And are we as leaders helping for growth, helping to prepare for growth so that we could have a harvest 100-fold, 60-fold, at least 30-fold? Here in our church, here in this church body. So those are tough questions, and I've asked a lot of tough questions today. But, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And sometimes, Lord God, your word does comfort the afflicted, but sometimes it afflicts the comfortable. And so many times there's too much of a comfort factor in me and in us when it comes to those weeds. And so many times too, Lord God, there's a hardness of heart that we have that would prevent your word from taking root. Please, Lord God, by your Spirit, may you do a wonderful work in us to be able to change our hearts, transform them. Let it be good, rich, fertile soil. May it be deep, Lord God, a deep soil. And Lord God, may it be well watered. And help us, Lord God, then to be able to keep the weeds of sin and anxiety out. Help us to stand strong in times of trial and persecution, which, as Josh said, it will come. Those troubles will come. It's all how we handle it. It's all how you handle it. So we give them to you, casting those anxieties upon you, and ask you, Lord God, to do your work, to do a wonderful work. Amaze us again that you might transform us
and bring out the beauty, and even then, helping us to blossom and flourish, that you might reap a great harvest in your kingdom through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.